The tomboy brunch. I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy.
Hey everybody, what's up and welcome to another edition of the Tomboy Brunch. Hey, it is also not your typical Tomboy Brunch Saturday. It's another Chill Billy Nation takeover. My co-host for today is none other than the Super Bowl champion and founder and CEO of Chill Billy Nation, Mr. Rodney Bailey. What's happening, Rodney?
What's happening, my girl? How you living? You having a good
I'm
time today?
I'm living in charge.
Say man, what? Not a typical Saturday. Not a typical Saturday at all here in Chill Billy Nation land. At all, we got a lot of football action on all sorts of college to pro. Plus, I want to also give my condolences to the families and the people who have lost loved ones in the shooting death at the Fort Lauderdale airport. That is very unfortunate, and prayers go out to all those people. I want to give that shout out first.
Yeah.
But thanks
yes.
for having us.
So I've been looking at the news on that, and you live in Tampa, Florida. How far away is that from Fort Lauderdale airport? Is it Orlando you're closer to or Fort Lauderdale?
I'm close. About an hour from Orlando, but we're about 3.5
okay.
hours, 4 hours from Fort Lauderdale. Got a lot of friends down there. I mean, I frequent that airport a lot. It's a very common one for a lot of people coming in and out of the country, too. There's no way for us to figure out when this is going to happen, and we really we can't, a lot of evils are very much undescribable and unspeakable. We really don't know why people do these things. We just have to take care of each other. But, yes, it's
right.
put a damper on a few things because it's,
it
we got
has.
The national championship up here. Yeah. National championship this weekend, and
that
the security is a lot tighter.
Yeah, but that was, yesterday and even this morning as I was watching it on the news, that is, and like you just said, you don't know when or where it's going to happen. I mean, 2016 was rough. I mean, you had shootings in churches, schools, airports. It's like nowhere is safe, these people. And some are mental, as they say. Some have been terrorist attacks. And it's just like people, the world right now is real, I don't even know what to call it. The changing of the guard with the president,
Right.
I am going to miss the Obama so much. I'm going to miss the Obama so much. I thought they had, past 8 years, I thought they did so much for our country and the world. Seeing the Obamas become president and first lady and do it in such a graceful and dignified way in spite of all of the hates and the vetoes and just the blocks and, they tried. But so I really commend them, and I'm really going to hate to see them go.
I know we are all, I am as well, I agree, all your sentiments are the same thing I'm thinking, but the one other thing I want to add to it is I believe that, watching Michelle Obama give her last first lady speech and that bringing everybody to tears, if you don't have tears after that, then you really don't have a soul in certain cases. I look at it this way, though. I believe that those two have touched this world in a way where I don't think they're finished touching on what they're going to do for the rest of this world. I know in the position of presidency, I don't think we've seen in my 37 years on this earth, I've never seen some in that position, such a honorable couple be able to do it with such grace under fire with everything that was going on around this country. What we're moving to, like you said, with the changing of the garb is a place where we must realize that this whole world is changing and our whole ideas and everything are changing. Everything from job wise to the way we go to work. There's a lot of people who are working from their homes nowadays compared to where they were 10 years ago. So there's a lot of things that we are adjusting. I just think we need to take care of each other as people.
No, I agree. I agree. And what we also have to realize is, I mean, I'm kind of just seeing it already, in my opinion, with the changing of the guard, it's already looks like we're taking steps back. Like, we are clearly starting to be more divided by our cultures and our race and even our gender, man and woman. But prior to somebody pointing it out, and, you know, I think it really started with the appointment of a black president that we started having to acknowledge that he was black. So then everybody was being called black or white or put into a category where before it was just the president of the United States. But like what you just said, we just lived through a part of history. Like, we were there. I went in 2008 or January 2009. I was out there standing in the freezing cold at President Obama's inauguration. I mean, I wanted to be there.
Me and
my cousins took us. Yeah, we standing out there. It was freezing, but it's a day I'll never, ever, ever forget. And, but now we are calling each other out, separating each other, singling each other out, whatever you want to call it, based on our differences. I mean, and
you know, I was going to add to what. This is one thing that we specialize in, and with the kids that I coach and deal with Chillbilly Nation, is definitely letting them know that in this country, it's important to be intelligent. And I think right now, the things that are being taken away from our youth is the education. They're trying to take as much education as possible away so that they could dumb these guys down so that they could control them. And I'm just doing everything in my power to be able to get young men and women to understand that your education is your power. That is your freedom. And, you know, when it comes to that, that's how you exercise your right to vote and put who in office who you want to be there. And I think that this last election was not concentrated on the youth. And I think that that's where, with the changing of the guard, we need to get the youth back involved to let them know that they run this country and that they have a say. Because we didn't concentrate on them at all in this election. That's my really biggest difference compared to this one and compared to the last one when Obama won. As children,
yeah,
were important.
I think those were a lot of the voters that 18 and up, 18 to 25, which were mostly Bernie Sanders supporters, and they did not vote. You know, 46.4% of people didn't vote, but. I think it was from that younger group. But you know what? I don't even want to go into politics. November 8th came and went, and we have
to deal with it.
We are the citizens. It is still our country, so it's important, you guys, to vote in those midterm elections. And when your neighborhood is doing rezoning, go and listen to the meetings. Those rezoning changes the voting and the electoral colleges. You know, that's what people don't understand. Don't just vote every 4 years, but vote midterm elections. Vote for your mayor, et cetera, et cetera. But let's talk sports. Let's talk sports.
I can do that.
It is a big, big, just not even just weekend, but the next good month.
Oh, you know,
I mean, we are in the playoffs, Rodney. And as a Super Bowl champion, you made it all the way to the big dance and danced. What's happening right now? It's the first week of the playoffs. Today we got the first game up is Houston Texans and Houston Texans and the Raiders are up first.
Yes, that's a great game. You crank it up. This is it. You might be sore, but nobody cares. It's all even playing field. Coaches, players, everybody getting the same check. Trainers, everybody excited all together. The playoffs have started. The extra money means a lot to a lot of guys who are minimum contract guys like I was. I'll tell you what, that was our
How much extra money do you get?
Well, I mean, at this point, I don't know, but I was planning to see, like, it was this preseason. Well, if you were in this game about 10, 15 years ago in the wild card game, you win this game, it was like you won $18,500 extra or something. So everybody's
okay,
getting paid that same amount. Everyone's like, all right, so the next game you go and win, that's like $27,000. All right. So everyone's doing this, like, big high fives around the locker room because everyone's getting paid the same. Guys who make $5 million a year aren't getting paid that anymore. They're getting paid the same as everybody else. Kind of a fun thing.
All right.
Right. The coaches are getting a little bit more money. Everybody's, like, it's definitely money because we do this for a living. But then also, yeah, you got fan bases and grudge matches. Like you talk about, especially down there in Houston, this is a team who's battled to a place to get here. I think a really embattled head coach who's, really always fighting to get whatever team he has out there. Injuries, fights through it, in the playoffs again. That's a very dangerous team.
Who? Which team?
The Houston Texans. They're dangerous because they're playing against Oakland. Oakland just lost their quarterback
right.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's hard to start.
I think Texans
are
going to win, too.
I have the Texans.
I think they're
going to
win, too.
They're built that way. They're a tough team. They don't do things pretty all the time, but they get it done. And I know there's been a quarterback issue here, but I just like the Texans. Plus, you know how Houston likes to get hype. Plus, it's a Super Bowl year in Houston. If you can get a team that gets hot, going in the right direction – ooh, boy, it can be hot as a grill.
Ooh-wee.
What about
Lions and Seahawks? Game two.
Lions and Seahawks. Very interesting matchup. You know, the Seahawks, they got to rally around the fact that they've lost Earl Thomas, but he's the leader of that defense. He had a bad leg break on Monday Night Football, I believe, earlier this year. I think that's going to be their demise. Aaron Rodgers is playing lights-out football. It's pretty boring and scary to see him do that when he's doing it this way. I know that's who's waiting in the wings. Detroit and this guy by the name of Stafford, they're excited just to have a playoff game. But that's what people are thinking out of Seattle. You get to Seattle, I think that Stafford and those guys win. I actually taken Detroit. I think that this is a good upset to be able to do this. I don't know what's going to happen next week for Detroit, but I think Detroit wins this one. And I think the Texans,
I think both those teams
will
beat Seahawks. Interesting.
Because it's such a matchup where no one is going to have that one. That's not something someone's going to have. I'm not really good with the numbers. I'm not one of the Vegas guys, but I do know opportunities, and I think this opportunity for this team and the emotion, looking at it from the other standpoint, from Seattle losing their leader that way on defense, I think that's going to hurt them. I could be wrong because I did play for the Seahawks, and I know how loud that building gets, but that's why we play the game. So, yeah. I wanted to mention, too, side note, you have national championship going on today.
Wait, we ain't talking about that. We're not talking about that yet. We're still talking about NFL. We're gonna get to that. Yeah, I gotta. Well, I'm gonna ask you all kind of football. We gotta in the sports. But I wanted to get your insight on the NFL game tomorrow. Pittsburgh and Miami play, and New York at Green Bay.
Yes.
Who are you picking for Pittsburgh and Miami? In Pittsburgh.
I'm a Steeler. I was drafted by the Steelers. I'm a homer. I'm going to be a homer about this one. The Steelers are winning in Pittsburgh against Miami. It just doesn't fit, even in the mindset of thinking that they would lose a home game in the playoffs in Pittsburgh. They haven't done one of that in a few years. Miami's a young team. They're going to give them a tough game. They have a great running game, but if they can't run the ball, they can't win in Pittsburgh. Now, the other game in the NFC,
New York at Green Bay. Woo, cold.
I don't think they can cover. I know Clinton Dix for the Green Bay Packers is playing well in the secondary, but I don't know if they can bottle up old Odell Beckham with the blonde hair. I think him and Eli have a big day. And Aaron Rodgers is playing great. I said that earlier. He is playing excellent, and you don't when he's playing like this, nobody wants to see him. But I see that big Blues defense holding up with Spagnuolo calling lots of blitzes and them not being able to stop Odell Beckham Jr. Going down the field with big plays. So I got the Giants winning by 3.
Mm.
Take it from
me.
Wow,
tight game.
Tight game, yeah.
Close game. Yeah, I think, definitely think your old team, Pittsburgh, will show up and show out. And I think, and Mike Tomlin is walking around with a chip on his shoulder, too. So I think he's kind of, from the comments, who was it?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it that said he was a quarter, cheerleader coach? Or
was that
a cheerleader, that coach?
I was about to say, yeah, Terry Bradshaw. Which
is Bradshaw, not Elway. Let me stop lying.
No,
but
you can pretty much figure by the quote it was Bradshaw. That's a Bradshaw quote.
It was Bradshaw, and I think Pittsburgh has got an attitude about that now. That just gave them a little bit more fire. And what do you think about that comment? What do you think about him as a coach? He wasn't there when you were there, but
Mike Tomlin came in right after I went on the Arizona Cardinals, and he came in. A lot of my teammates were loved him as much as they loved any other Steeler coach that was there. The thing about Mike Tomlin that is different than most is I think his youth, his exuberance, and the fact that he kind of looks like one of the players in this day and age, the traditional football fan or prognosticator off of what a player's coach is. But I am on full authority to say that Mike Tomlin is one of the most qualified and one of the most respected coaches in football by every one of his peers. And personally, I take it as a racist comment, maybe, because I don't think you would say that about any other coach. If he wasn't a young black man, that wouldn't have been said. I just really believe it was that.
Yeah,
You don't say that about the Schottenheimer kids.
Right, I was a little taken aback by that statement from someone like Terry Bradshaw. I was a little surprised because I'm like, what? I mean, because I totally don't get that from him running along the sidelines. His enthusiasm and his energy is what I think has made him successful and gets his team hyped up.
He
But I don't see it as a cheerleader. I just see it as an engrossed coach. Like, those are the best kind of coaches.
It's
that you feel can relate. Yeah.
I believe it's a slap in the face to a coach who has won a Super Bowl and a coach who has coached in 2 Super Bowls. He's been to 2 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And a cheerleader is a long way away from somebody who's put in the work to do that. I did not, like I said, play for Mike Tomlin. I did play for Bill Cowher, who I love. But every guy who played for Mike Tomlin has nothing but love for both of them. Every guy that I know. So, those comments are things I see former athletes and coaches having to fight against, where people of high authority like Terry Bradshaw sitting there saying things of this nature. You got to kind of consider the source sometime because, in the business you're working so hard, a comment by somebody can really throw you off. I see, like you said, the swagger in him and his team, the team backing him up is what's going to show you how he feels. I saw a picture yesterday with Jerome Bettis and Coach Cowher, Mr. Rooney, and Mike Tomlin together, and it was a really cool gesture showing Steeler Nation is one nation. I know that. I was drafted by him. Once a Steeler, always a Steeler, so we are biased every time. We stay biased. We stay together because we are family. And we love Terry. We wish Terry would just come off it sometimes.
True. I don't even know what to describe it. He's a different kind of commentator. You can just tell he has that aura.
Wait a minute.
Where he just comes around, sling his nuts across the table, and can say whatever he wants, but.
Well,
he's a champion. He gets a lot of respect in the industry.
I know, but listen, Katrina, this is the same guy, the coach he won 4 Super Bowls with. He didn't go to his funeral. Gotta let you know something about the guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he didn't go to Chuck Noll's funeral. So, wow. I mean, it just kind of goes with, you know, the territory of, you know, you don't really know what's on his mind all the time. And, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. This is America.
Well, we'll see. Well, I think they're definitely going to win against Miami. I think it's going to be a good game. Like you said, Miami has a really good, strong running game. But in Pittsburgh, this time of year, playoffs, all roads lead to Pittsburgh victory and what have you. So now let's talk about some college football. Mr. Ohio State Buckeye.
You want to bring
now
that
it
up
is
right
time.
Now after what we went through?
I have to. Oh, I mean, because you know
I'm still waiting for us to play.
I'm
still waiting for my team to play. When did we?
Really?
We didn't.
They never showed up.
No.
Never showed up. And that was so surprising. I mean, tell me something about that, Roddy. I have been waiting for this moment to talk to you about it to. So everybody can hear, but, zero?
I had a Chase Lounge in the living room, and I was sitting in the Chase Lounge for 3 straight quarters, and I didn't move, and I didn't say a word. That's not indicative of the attitude that I have at all about life or anything every day. I'm up bouncing around, going crazy, people telling me to calm down normally. That game, they didn't do anything. I've never seen an Ohio State game like that in my life. I played some games. We didn't play well. We lost. But I've never seen, for one, on a stage that
no
big, to never score. You couldn't score 1 point is the one problem I had. After 3 quarters and we're not winning and we're not playing well, I didn't clap my hands. I didn't say, let's go Bucks. I just saw us lose. So in the last quarter,
wow.
I'm like, you have to have some pride and score. So it just does bother me in your last game. I know we're a young team. I know we have talent, but there was something in a point in a game where you just have to get to a point where you say we score one time. That's it. We didn't score. And I don't know how good Clemson is because they beat us too well. They played too good. And I hats off to them because they did everything they were supposed to do offensively and defensively. And I know we're doing some overhauling and all that kind of stuff at our school, but I thought that if we're going to get in, you know, we had this big debate before that week happened. Do they deserve to be in there? We did that for 2 weeks, and you got Penn State playing their heart out against UCLA or USC, and they lose, but they were the Big Ten champions. Now it makes it look bad. It just makes the whole system look bad, and it came up. It's funny. 2 years earlier.
So what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Did they fall apart? Did they not?
No.
What?
Good question. I really believe that they
was
just.
Was it coaching?
Yes, we have gotten away with murder for an entire year playing against bad teams, soft schedule early in the year. I know that was picked from years and years earlier, but with that, we let our talent get away from itself. The coaching aspect in the game with against Clemson, I saw us totally get out coached where. We're trying to run things. We're trying to run outside so that we don't trust running at the team we're playing against. We don't take shots down the field until we're down by 20 points. It's just like it was a very, very, very hodgepodge game plan. It was definitely worse offensively. You got a very young defense to try to keep themselves into that game. We got down 17-0. I saw the defense. These young guys were trying to keep it together. There's no help at all from the offense. And you saw after the first quarter, it was on straight that way. We had some offensive lulls earlier in the year, and we ended up winning some games because we had better talent. But once you get to this point and you got everybody vying for that national championship, we can't have these problems. I know people have been fired and people have been let go and have changed some offensive stuff, but this is going to we got to stick with us for this whole offseason. I got to sit here. I got a cousin in town about to watch Alabama play here in Tampa, and I got to live with it.
I live
with it.
Wow. So yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you see them making it as far next year?
The plan
going
is
back
the plan
to
was.
The...
I have a very good opportunity for us to be. I have a good feeling we have a good opportunity to be between 2 and 3 next year. I don't know if we're going undefeated. I know we're probably going to have to, and that's the expectation. Mm-hmm. Kind of is every single year at Ohio State. We know that. That, you know, everyone say, oh, this is a young year. These guys were young this year. I always say you never know. You try to win every game every year at Ohio State anyway. So being back there, that's the expectation. If it's not there, you know, as always, everybody's going to get fired or they'll try to fire everybody. It depends. Yeah. And also,
well,
it depends on the recruiting.
It depends, yeah.
What else
recruiting is definitely key in college. Recruiting is definitely key in college. I want to know what your thoughts about the Clemson player grabbing the nuts of the offensive tackle. And I read that he made a statement that that's part of the game, like that's what you guys do. You know, it's a little poking each other.
Nah.
Is that what you guys do?
Nope.
Is that little poking the butt, the little – squeeze on the nuts.
I know we have a lot of ladies that listen to this. I'm going to tell you something here, okay? I'm a man here, and a man will tell you so. I ain't never on a football field reached down and grabbed between no man's legs for no reason. The funny part about that video, I know exactly what you're talking about, is the fact that it was a forethought. There was a conspiracy to touch that man between his ass and his legs. I mean, what is wrong with this dude? I have no idea why you would want to touch any man on a football field there in the, you know, we all hot, sweaty, disgusting. Anyway, right. We bleeding on each other. We're fighting. We're spitting. I mean, it's a lot going on down there in the trenches where I played my whole career. That one time that I want to roguely reach anywhere, anywhere. to touch another 300-pound man. I tried to blame. Maybe he blacked out. Maybe he got hit hard, and I don't know. He thought he was at a party. I don't know. Maybe he was at one of Trump's parties.
I mean, and you can tell that the player. You can tell that the player felt it because then he kind of turned around, jumped like,
"Wait,
what's up?"
Yeah, I can only speak for myself and all the teammates I played with on defense. I've never seen a guy, we never said we're going to conspire to grab a man's balls after he makes a tackle.
Especially when you're winning.
I guess that's a good point, too.
I mean, you're winning. They have 0 points. What do you have to gain but your own personal satisfaction?
That's called getting it all, right? He getting it all, right?
It's called being nasty. It is being nasty, but they're out of – well, they are the victors. So Clemson versus Alabama, Tampa. What's it like right now in Tampa?
First of all, shout out to Octavia Scott for making it from East Lake down here in Clearwater, you know, represent Clearwater. Down here, I mean, it's fever pitch. But honestly, the weather right now is rainy. And it's about 50 because we got a cold front that came through right this second. But it's live concerts.
I'm talking about the energy. The city is packed.
It's packed. It's a small town, but it's a town full of bowl games of this magnitude, which is great. You got Alabama fans all over the place already here. Like I said, my cousin Michael Taylor, longtime, whole life Alabama fan in town. With me here, bought his own ticket, drove down from Alabama.
Oh wow!
By himself, he got two sons, but he said, "I'm taking myself to the game. He's going to the game by himself.
I'm
gonna tailgate with him. I'm gonna rock with him the whole time." Like I said, Octavia Scott's from here, you know, part of the USG family, and it's a big deal because there's a couple different athletes from Clemson play wide receiver who are from this area, so. A lot of people here are expecting Clemson to win. And, you know, Alabama comes at people as the evil empire. You know, Nick Saban is Satan to a lot of people. He's a tough guy. He keeps winning. A lot of people are tired of seeing them win and be on top. They're always here. I mean, they have the same evil empire that Ohio State had until we lost last week. these guys, I think they are. They're kind of like the Yankees right now from the, you know, the 27 championships. But people don't want to see them win. I say that this is a really great rematch from last year. This is exactly probably what it should be. It was a good game last year. It's going to be a real good game this year. I think that Alabama wins if – you didn't want me to do that?
No, go ahead. If. I was about to say something about that win, but you got an if. Go ahead with your if.
If they don't block that defensive line for Alabama, Alabama will win this game going away. If they block them, then Clemson can win this game. That's, I think that's the biggest difference.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think – I was going to ask you, do you think the sudden departure of Lane will have anything to do with the outcome?
Well, the way I look at this, and I think it's going to have a an effect on the game, yes. But the way Saban set this up is out of the school of thought of one of the guys he coached for, Bill Belichick. He makes this big announcement during this week, not as if he doesn't have it already set up. We don't know him right now, and a lot of people are going to forget it. Steve Sarkisian has been here for a while as a consultant due to his alcoholism. That's how he lost his job out of USC. So he couldn't coach for an entire year legally. Now we're in 2017. He can. Who's to say he wasn't calling all the plays to begin with? That's
commentators I've heard have said that he's the one that said that Steve has been in the background, but the ones that in headset that's been calling the plays has been Lane running up the sidelines with the players and in their heads talking to them has been Lane. So
right, the one.
So who's, if they're telling the truth or not, but that's what they've been told, is that he's the one that's been calling the plays, talking to the players, the one-on-one, and Steve has kind of been in the background, been there physically at the meetings and still knows the guys, but it's been Lane who's been in their ear. Come on, bring them off
Michael.
The sideline, tell them to do this and all of that.
Yes, I asked Michael Taylor about this, those offensive coaches.
Do you say his whole name every time you say it?
Every time I say his name.
Michael Taylor.
I don't know why. Michael Taylor. I don't know why we've been doing this since we were cousins for 30 years. I've been calling him.
Is Taylor his last name or middle name?
It's his last name.
Okay.
No, but he,
so what does Michael Taylor say?
Michael Taylor said that it doesn't matter who is the offensive coordinator because Nick Saban is making all the calls anyway, which that's kind of true. So whatever he says goes, and we know he rules with an iron fist. As he did when he wrote that letter when he went there 10 years ago and said, don't talk to me when I'm on campus because I'm here busy trying to win national championships for the Crimson Tide. I think that this is one of those things that they've created in the media so we can talk about it. But at the end of the day, if you don't block that defensive line, because I haven't seen them blocked all year, then you have a rough day. But this is going to be a great national championship. I'm going to sit up here and tell you, because I'm down here in Tampa, and I'm not just saying because I'm down here. Raymond James Stadium is the perfect backdrop for this. They've done some great renovations. It's awesome around the atmosphere from Ybor City all the way through St. Pete, where there's all kinds of stuff happening on the bay. Now, we wish the weather was a little bit better, but we got people down here, and it's great for the community. And I can
call them for rain tomorrow?
No, it's supposed to be sunny and about 75 tomorrow. So
tomorrow's
going to be a nice day. We just had a front come through, and prayers to those families on the other side of East Tampa who we had a tornado touchdown last night, but nobody was hurt. But, you know, weather comes through here. This is the lightning capital of the world. We see lightning shows every day. So we're used to it.
Wow. Well, yeah, I don't actually am not partial to either team, like win or lose. I think it's actually going to be a really close game. And I think it's going to be a – right, me too. I hope it's not a blowout. And I'm really excuse me. Excuse me. Sorry. I had to sneeze. But too much pepper on my omelet.
Bless your heart.
Too much pepper on,
bless your
on my
heart.
Omelet. But I think it's going to be a close game, and I'm not sure who is going to be the victor because I don't think it's, like I said, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And Alabama, they're on a run, and they have not roll tied, blah, blah, blah. But Clemson, Deshaun Watson has an attitude for getting second place for the Heisman twice. He has a chip on his shoulder, and he said it.
I agree with that.
When, you know,
I agree with that.
So 2 years, and, you know, in December, he graduated in 3 years. He is finished with his academic obligation to Clemson University. So he is going balls out and playing football. He will not. He has a degree in his dorm, if he's on campus, but or in his apartment, wherever he lives, he has his college degree. You know, like 4 days after he was in New York for Heisman ceremony, 4 days later, he walked across the stage and got his degree a year early. And he's a student athlete. So I just want to acknowledge that being me being a former, both of us being former student athletes, to do something like that is really good. To be focused on the studies where you not only graduate, but you graduate a year early says a lot. So
it's not easy to do at all.
It's not easy. And then to lose twice, second place. Ooh, so now he does not want to end up. He cannot, because if he loses tomorrow, that's second place again.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll give you this. I'll give you this for me when it came to Clemson. And I've always respected his game. I like Dabo Swinney, the head coach, and what he's built, what the athletes he's brought there in the last few years. And they're in a nice run. What I always used to have discounted until – it took me being a Buckeye alum watching them beat us 31-0. I didn't respect Clemson. I'll honestly say that I did not respect Clemson. They're an offensive team who flashed and had great speed and had really good offense, but their defense never really stuck with them. And I've been watching that for a couple of years, so I kind of discounted that over the time. They blanked Ohio State. It changed my whole mindset, and I'm a Buckeye, and I can eat some humble pie. That team showed me something because it was a team win. They beat us 31-0. We weren't able to do anything all day long in a major college football atmosphere,
right,
a neutral site like this. This
wow,
team is
you pretty
ready.
Much summed it up.
It's true. They're ready. They're ready to go and play against the evil empire in Alabama. So this is going to be one of the better national championships. You made some really good points when it comes to Deshaun Watson, which I've been
that
guy.
He's that leader.
Yes, and I've been that guy who's, you know, nobody believes in, and no one's giving this guy any credit to win this game. That's the truth, and it's because it's actually just a stigma on that school. It's a stigma on the school, but if they can change it by winning, that's what they can do.
And I just think, and you know also that sometimes it's those Indiana Hoosier stories and what is the one where Denzel's the coach? What's the name of that movie?
Oh, yeah, Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans. It's those kinds of things where that other team across the field on paper and commentators is supposed to win. It's supposed to win. But there's something greater in you that is a champion that where you can beat them. No, champions beat champions. That's how you become a champion. You have to beat another champion. So I think this is Clemson's rising moment. I think I'm going for Clemson as the more I think about it.
I think you are saying
I think what they're going to do is not expect it on paper is what I'm saying.
Ric Flair says it, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is, though, you're right, though. Will you cry?
They're
so
beating
much
the number one team that has won the championship. They're beating the number, and that's who they have to beat. Or like otherwise, there'll be people like you who never really noticed them, who never really gave them a chance. And so,
give them any chance.
If Deshaun does not want his defining moment to be second place, if he does not want to be remembered as second place, two-time Heisman second place loser, and lost to Alabama. And, you know, I mean, he doesn't want to.
I got something to tell you, too, just to add to this, everything you're saying about, I want to give a shout-out to all these student-athletes out here in this bowl season, giving their effort, doing what they're doing, and doing their schoolwork,
and
getting it done, making money for these organizations. They're not making any money at all.
Let me raise my mimosa today. Good point.
they are working so hard for all of our entertainment for this time, and they're not getting any money for it, and they can't make any money. Their families, my parents used to follow us around. It costs a lot of money for them to get on planes and come see us and play in these neutral sites and come to Tampa and everything. And I think that the NCAA should do something about this because they make a lot of money for TV rights and everything for these guys.
Yeah.
And they're working their hearts out to be better people. It has nothing to do if they go to a pro, play, be a pro athlete afterward, but being better people working for
some
these
of them,
large...
Some of them, Rodney, a lot of them are working to go to become professional players. These blue chip Division I schools, their goal is to go pro. And that's, you know, and speaking of that, what is your opinion? Because they're trying to go pro. Yeah, all of that. I want to be good people. That's, you know, they were raised that way. Well, we would like to think so. But the goal is to one day get paid. I'm doing this for free right now so that I could get the big paycheck. So they're out there, which brings me to my next point. What do you think about the guys that don't want to participate in the bowl so they don't get hurt and ruin their opportunity to go pro?
Well, you know what? You have to, honestly, you have to, everything is changing with the times. You have to use Yelp now if you want to find a nice piece of pizza. Just like anything, it's time to change. We're changing. I don't want to be an old fogey. You have to think about it this way. Think about what these guys are saying when they're saying, hey, I need to think about my future. They might be able to say that now since you said the bowl games don't mean anything. You told them they don't mean anything. Now since you told them they don't mean anything, now they don't mean anything to them. If they are your
signature
player.
But then when they get to the pros, are we there for the love of the game or are we there for the money? Because we sat out this bowl game, so it kind of questions coming in.
Us old guys in the locker room, we see you come in. I'm saying all the stuff that's said. I can tell you, once you get in a locker room like Pittsburgh, you get one of those locker rooms, you a guy who had like, oh, I didn't play in the ball game because of this or that. You come in, we want to look you right in the eye and see if you're ready to come here and work. It takes 1 minute to tell if this dude is ready or not. And seriously, in the NFL locker room, all of that other stuff don't matter. I think when it comes to the kid and the agent and the parent and the school, that might be something. But when it comes to I'm walking in here and Jerome Bettis is across the locker room from me. We are professionals now. Now it's a whole different thing. Now mom and dad, they just come to the game and say hi. And all that other stuff is outside. But at the same time, I am dated. I will say that. I came in 2001. It is now 2017. And let's see how that does play out. I was a guy who was going to run through a wall regardless of whatever opportunity you give me if you don't let me play. But for guys like us from that era of college football, unthinkable for us not to want to play in a bowl game. I see now, though, how it is thinkable for these people to tell them not to. They have too many handlers. I didn't have a handler.
Yeah.
I'm just a dog.
At such a young age. But you know what it is? Because it's starting so young. You had these parents where they're hiring trainers to train their kids one sport. Football is mainly football and basketball that I'm seeing off season, one sport all through high school, college, with one goal in mind, to make it to the pros. So they're starting now. You see these little boys in the videos on internet of little 7-8-year-olds boxing or handling a basketball like a grown man. I mean, they got these skills already, so you already in your head know they're destined to go to the league, to go pro.
Can I tell you what's the only thing is, as a high school coach, the only part of that that I always say that we still miss them part of, we do have, I love seeing children do that at a young age. the one part that sometimes I think we miss along the way is the psychology. There's a psychology that goes into our sport. The skills are great. I love that. Baseball, basketball, football, any of them. But then there's a psychology, and the psychology comes in the camaraderie of the team concept of everybody working together. So a lot of these kids who have been used to being basketball coached at 5 years old by one coach, once they get with a team of guys who weren't coached as good as them that young, they don't know how to play together. I think that's fine, but you also have to make sure you integrate the camaraderie. Get your children out to picnics and go eat hot dogs and hamburgers and just chill out. Go do play water. Have three-legged race. Have a beanbag contest. Play cornhole. Compete in the yard.
Yeah.
Do silly stuff. Yeah. But seriously,
things become so mechanical. And then before long, you get in your teenage years and you're kind of worn out. The downside of that is you can get burnt out. You really got to have a love of the game where, like you, what you were just referring to as old school, we, back in the day, no one did one sport. We did all sports because we were just playing. You know, volleyball, basketball, and track every year. Volleyball, basketball, and track every year. Till I got to college, volleyball only. But other than that, volleyball, basketball, track, because all of it helped each other. And then what you mentioned about the psychological comes in. Now I'm with a whole different set of teammates. Some of us played together other sport, but here's my whole different teammates, a new coach, new season, a new sport. So it's like playing something else again. But the competition is there, trying to go to the playoffs, the same motivation. But different psychologically, I guess.
I went to an all-boys Catholic high school, and running track was awesome. I was slow, but I got a chance to see a lot of hot chicks. Went to the track meet. We went to all boys. We go to track meet. It was hot chicks in the track meet. It's the social aspect too. I was a very shy, fat little kid with high cholesterol until I started playing sports, and that's what I do with Chivalry Nation. I like to be involved with the kids and be able to show them. Hey, sports is something I use to stay out of trouble and to keep me busy, and it's a vehicle, it's a voice. I had no confidence without being able to knock somebody on their ass. So it kind of spilled over from there. And we need to keep these programs going because they're falling by the wayside. I know we said we weren't going to get political, but that's something I see. They're trying to take it away from these kids, and these kids are our future for sure. They are.
Right, and that's why we need people like you to keep doing the things that you're doing, staying connected with the youth so they can have the examples, they can have the mentors, like your summer camp for Big Man's Camp. Keep doing things like that where people like you, right, where people like you keep turning around and giving back and then raising people that will do the same. It's more, and believe it or not, the news doesn't say it as often, especially these last couple of months, as hell, this last year, but there's still so much good going on in the world,
Absolutely.
And people are raising people that are doing great things, and that's the kind of things that we want to make sure we continue to talk about. And like you say, recognizing these student athletes and how hard they work and the sacrifices that they make. So let's keep doing it. So Rodney, what's going on with Chillbilly Nation? Tell us where we can follow you and what you have going on.
You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow Chillbilly Nation. You're at Chillbilly Nation on Instagram. Also, ChillbillyNation.com. Check us out. There'll be more video blogging and some more blogs to come. There's a lot of programs we're working on with the Roddy Bailey Big Man's Camp as well. And there should be some opportunities to do some cool things to show how we can keep building. I'm going to be doing some cooking shows as well to come this year in 2017. So keep you posted and look out for that YouTube Chillbilly Nation channel that's being built as we speak.
All right. And also, too, before we go, Rodney, I want to ask you, who's going to the Super Bowl and who's winning?
Well, I already said on your pre-show that I took over Well, that was pretty fun. We took your show over. I picked them, my the team that I won my Super Bowl with, the New England Patriots. I'll go back to, I had them winning the Super Bowl, and it was my reasoning then was Tom was going to be pissed off. He had four games off, and he had something to prove, and he's not getting any younger, and he was going to shatter the record books, but I think that they just have the formula. I had them winning it for some reason. Now it looks boring to them right now. I don't see – they have Malcolm Floyd. It looks good. On the other side, though, NFC-wise, go ahead. Let's do it. Let's just do what everybody wants us to do. Put the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
Are you going to say it? Yeah, you're right, though, because Jerry Jones would love nothing more to come to Houston, his state, drive down the road, bring his big convoy 4 hours down the road to Houston, Texas, his home, you know, anywhere in Texas. So, yes, exactly. Do you see that? This is close to it being in Dallas as he could get, to having a Super Bowl in Houston. So I think NFC is going to be Dallas. I do.
Real talk, though, the most nervous man in the playoffs right now is Jason Garrett. This right now, he don't have a game today.
Yes.
They're doing a lot of watching everybody else play. You got to win that first one next week. So all the pressure on the playoffs right now is in Dallas for next week. They haven't won a game in forever. So that game has got to be won. So, you know,
to wipe it off their shoulder. You're right.
You know how tight the asses are at practice right now in Dallas?
You can't even put a potato chip or nothing up in there.
Oh, no, man. No, they're working hard. People are kind of quiet. And you can't even say playoff win. I'm sure in the locker room, you can't. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of superstitions going on. So, you know what? It's interesting. This is where it's going to be interesting with that one last game is when the Cowboys do play, it's going to be interesting to see if they even need Tony Romo, because you never know what can happen in the playoffs. You never know.
Yeah, they don't need him. They need to go with what's been winning them games right now. Go to Tony Romo when they need him, when it isn't working, when the plan that has gotten them this far is not working, go to them. But not just because he's healthy, because Dak has no reason to be sat down.
Let me tell you a real quick story about that. I'm a rookie playing against the New England Patriots, and that's the year that Drew Bledsoe got punctured a lung and couldn't play most of the year, and Tom Brady started that whole year and got them into the playoffs in the AFC Championship game against us and the Steelers. We hit Tom Brady three or four times. We knocked him out of the game with a high ankle sprain. Here comes Drew Bledsoe in the game. Hadn't played all year. He comes and he wins the game.
That's my point.
You always need your own guy. Yes, you still need it. You never know.
And that's exactly how it should happen, but not just because Tony's healthy again, but because something has happened to Dak. That's exactly how the scenario should go. But not because, don't put a healthy Dak on the bench because Tony Romo is healthy now. That's what
I'm
saying.
You guys,
he has taken. He has led this team, and let him finish. Let him finish.
All the stories I heard about all of being having over 13 wins as a Dallas Cowboy, those guys get free haircuts and everything in Dallas. I mean, you think these rookies are going to try not to play hard with all the free stuff they're getting because they're winning games? Rookies, these dudes are hungry. Zeke Elliott, he
free
hit
haircut.
Holes. I ain't need. Man, I mean,
okay.
I know he looked like he was in full force, but he really making that full force look come back too. What's that?
Yeah,
but he is that. I don't know. He just had. You know what I'm saying? He was bow legged.
He has that
blockhead,
but he has that bow legged look. He does. I've seen the memes. I've seen him. He does have the bow-legged lewd look. But yeah, well, Rodney, thank you for joining us. We always love having Chill Billy Nation take over the airwaves with us for a little while. And we will look forward to looking at your videos and following Chill Billy Nation tomorrow to see where you're at the game.
All right.
And we will talk to you soon, brother.
One love. Right. Thank you for having me. Peace out. Yes.
All right.
Have
a nice Saturday, y'all.
I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy. The tomboy. I'm a tomboy.
Because ladies love sports too.
I'm a tomboy.